Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and welcome to our Blessings from Christ. On this lovely Sunday afternoon, we are so happy you're here, and you make our community what it is just by being yourself and reaching for the love and blessings of Christ through the grace of God. You've opened yourself up to be all that you can be as a blessing to us as well. So thank you. Thank you so much for being here. And I am just delighted to be here myself. This has been an extremely busy time for me. And this is my time just to be with the community I love and with God and Yeshua and soak up the blessings. So I would just suggest that you relax, take a deep breath, and be prepared to be showered with sweetness and goodness from everyone that's going to participate here. We always invite our community to speak first, because you may have points of gratitude you want to express, and that helps everyone to have more faith and confidence in the blessings and in all the good things that Christ could bring. And then you may have blessings you need to request. And we are here to receive your request, put it in our hearts, and carry it into our blessing when we get around to that point in our service. So we start with community, and we end up with union to our Creator. And it's all one big, wonderful, loving family. I see some people have already logged on. If you don't know how, the way is simply *6, and then you'll receive a prompt to press 1. And that actually puts you in the queue so that I can see your, I see your name if it's on the caller ID. Otherwise, I see your phone number. And what to say? Well, just be yourself. As long as you're being the authentic self that you are and showing up for a blessing, you will give blessings to other people. It's amazing how when we are able to see and join with another, we find in them the courage we need also, as well as the strength we need and the sweetness we're desiring for our life, because we all suffer in much the same way. We all seek in much the same way. And we all receive miracles in much the same way. And to see it in a three-dimensional form, that is, from other perspectives, opens up our spiritual space to express gratitude and receive. Just keep in mind that we have about 30 to 40 minutes for sharing, and we have several hundred people on the call. Not everybody speaks up, and you don't have to receive the lesson. You just have to ask for it in your heart. That's all. That's it. And if you don't feel like speaking is something that's right for you today, then just be here in silence and open yourself to God in your own private way. Those who do speak up, keep in mind that there'll probably be about 20 people wanting to speak. So let's don't make it too long. Feel free to say your piece. The thing that hurts me the most is to start prompting someone that we have other callers on the line. I really don't like doing that. I don't. Because I know that it took a lot of courage to speak, and I know that it's important for you to do it. But we do have to take care of everybody. So, let's try to be at least a little mindful of that. And let's get started. Virginia, I'm going to open your line, and you're on.
Oh, hi, Glenda. It's actually Elizabeth. I'm on my sister's phone up in the Catskills. Elizabeth from New York, and I just wanted to say the biggest thank you to you, Yeshua, to the blessing givers, because the prayers have helped me so much, and I'm feeling so much better after a near-death accident I had in New Orleans with my friend a couple of months ago. I'm feeling so much better, and I just am overwhelmed with gratitude because I know it was the prayers that you all sent out for me. And I've just turned a big corner, and I'm just, you know, really almost healed. I'm just really very, very good now, and I just wanted to say my appreciation to you and the community, and to also just ask a prayer for my friend George French, who lost his home in Ida in New Orleans, and he's almost on the verge of getting another place. So I just ask for a prayer that all the paperwork and everything goes through and he soon gets a place, because it's been so hard being displaced after the Hurricane Ida. And another prayer. Yes, New Orleans is still suffering so much.
I know.
And another prayer for my sister's tenant, who is looking for a job, and we just got on the computer and put in the application yesterday. I helped her, and if we could just get wings behind it for her to get the right job at the right time with all the blessings. And thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, yes, and amen to all these requests and prayers. We just want the very, very best for you. And
I'm getting it.
Oh, yeah, and you know, you do when you become more than yourself. This is the unfortunate irony that can happen when we're in trouble of some kind. It could just be we've been hit too hard with problems. It could be we've had our faith shattered or our health shattered. But what happens is we burrow into ourselves. And that's not where the answers are. We are actually a very big self that is shared with other people. We have a unique, each of us has a unique personal self that has an identity. And actually, we spend the first 20, 30 years of our life discovering what that identity is and creating it and cultivating it. And then the rest of our life is spent finding out where the rest of I am is, you know, and we find ourselves in other people, in other places, in other ways, because we're bigger than the unique individual self. And what happens in the blessing is that we are united with that larger self that has a whole lot more to bring to the picture, a whole lot more to offer for healing, a whole lot more to offer for inspiration and guidance and assistance, direction and opportunity. And so this is why I remind our community very, very often of Yeshua's statement to the apostles, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there. He was reminding them to be in the larger self, because that's where we discover more of him. This is why he can be with each and all of us all the time, because really and truly, he is our bigger self. He is the self that is all of us. And I don't think I could tell you more accurately an actual description of who he is. And this is why when I'm with him, I can receive inspirations that I know were a truth, of course, that I know has come from so many different rivers of wisdom, from indigenous people, from the Oriental people, from Hispanic people, European people, ancient people, and modern scientists on the cutting edge of new thought. And it all just flows in like tributaries of rivers moving into a great ocean, and he's all of it. And this is this is what made it quite a challenge to write Love Without End. And this is why you've never read a book like that before. Because no matter how great other people of wisdom have been, they perceived and expressed their wisdom from the greatest self they could be into the outer self that was greater. Well, Yeshua spoke from within the whole self that was. And it all comes out united. And when we read it, we get a taste of that. We get a taste of being more than we are and able to understand more than we thought we could ever understand. So, Virginia, in your own way, you've expressed exactly what I'm saying. You went from being the injured personal self to being the healed greater self. And we're going to ask that that happens for your friend, George French, and your other friend, and all of your friends and your family, and all of us. I bring that to you every Sunday because I know that's how our earth will be healed. So thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Mon. Thank you so much, Glenda.
You're welcome. And we have a little bit of a shortfall on our on our request session today. I guess I exclaimed our need for getting through the blessings efficiently a little too strongly. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. Then there's time for everybody. Just let's be just a little mindful about it. Come on in. Walk up to the altar and bring your heart. And while you're doing that, I'm going to put Stormy on the line. Hello, Stormy. You're someone I know fully knows everything I was saying about being in the greater self that you are, because that's where you are most of the time. And I love talking with you for that very reason. So what would you like to request for this day?
I wish a continued blessing for what I am seeing within humanity for many weeks now, and that is to a new beauty awakening within humanity. I've been watching this for several weeks now. I've been in prayer with it. I've been receiving the blessing of the understanding to a new beauty awakening within humanity.
Well, you know, I've had a similar perception, but it came to me a little differently. It was like the beauty of heaven descending to the earth. So, and people of the earth reaching up to receive it. So I think we're probably looking at the same thing with just a little different filter. But that is a great blessing request. And while I'm waiting for other people to show up online, oh, gee, I have to remind myself never to put a request out like that. Everybody is welcome. Please come on. But I do have something important to talk about. I want to talk about the Sabbath. Here we are on a day that we call the Sabbath. And once upon a time, many, many centuries ago, the Sabbath was on Saturday. And for some, it's still the Saturday. For all Jewish people, it is on Saturday. For the Seventh-day Adventist, it's on Saturday. And many other people celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday, as they have for ancient years into the past. So is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? Actually, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. But one thing does matter, and that is, I'm going to compare it first to a good night's sleep. A really, really good night's sleep. I know you've had some night's sleep that were a little bit shallow, and you woke up feeling like you were in the morning of the previous day. You didn't get a clearing overnight. you had some projects that you were working on. You didn't want to leave them. You got to bed late. You slept as long as you could, and you woke up, got back on the project, and it was like you took a nap. You didn't really have the kind of good night that creates a new day. Now, compare that to those refreshing, deep night sleeps that you wake up and you can hardly even remember what you did the day before because you're in a new day. You go to the window, open the curtains or the blinds, look outside, the sun is shining, the birds are singing, and it's like, wow, I have a new day. God has given me another day in my life, and it's like it's a gift. Okay, well, the Sabbath was actually meant to be that kind of sleep, that kind of restful day that we would start the next day completely made new with a complete new gift. And I also, before I describe more about that and why the scriptures were written the way they were, I want to bring up another subject that's also very similar, and that was the Jubilee. Every 7 years in the Jewish culture, there was a Jubilee Day. And on that Jubilee Day, all debts were forgiven. Can you imagine that? Can you just imagine for a minute, Citibank, Bank of America, the mortgage company? Can you just imagine living in a culture where every 7 years there was a Jubilee year and everybody was given financial freedom to start over again? Well, our founding fathers must have thought that was necessary in order to disengage us from the material world. Because once we build up debt, we are anchored in the material world for the length of that debt. Because we have to work to keep paying back the one to whom we owe a debt. And I really believe that the phrase in the Lord's Prayer, which said, "Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors," was a reflection upon that tradition. And that is, we really need to relieve our engagement with the material world for ourselves and for others. Now, we know that it isn't possible in the modern world unless we just want to file for bankruptcy or unless we have a windfall, an inheritance, or some other really great financial break and we just pay off our debt, which is a wonderful feeling. And God bless you if you've had that feeling. God was blessing you if you had that feeling. And if you could help other people also have that feeling, to have that renewed position in life is an awesome feeling. Now, when Moses was given the commandment to honor the Sabbath and to keep it holy, there was a little more to it than just that phrase, which is why it was tradition for us to all celebrate it on the same day. The rest of the passage was, he was telling them, no one shall work on the Sabbath, no servant shall work, no food shall be served, no animals shall work. And it went on and on, listing all the things that had to cease on that day. Well, The thing about everybody agreeing to the day on which it happens is that there's no interference with our peace. We actually can have a day that feels like a deep night's sleep. And I actually remember when I was a little girl, and I would say I had to have been a very little girl, because we had blue laws in my childhood, and the blue laws meant no store could open, no business could be done, and no one could go out and do a yard sale. No money could exchange other than offerings into the offering plate. Now, I can't say we would do nothing, but I can say this. My mother would cook Sunday dinner the night before, and it would be one of those dinners that all she'd have to do is warm up in the oven, and then we would have leftovers, Sunday lunch, leftovers for dinner, and dishes would be left in the sink, and she'd wash it the next morning. So we came pretty close to obeying the laws of the Sabbath. And I can tell you that that was an amazing, peaceful day. We not only went to church, we actually walked to church. We were about, I would say, about 10 blocks from church. And my mom, dad, and I, and my brother and sister, they were home then. And we walked to church, and we walked back to church. And an awful lot of people also walked to church. And it was really a delightful scene, almost like a parade of people approaching the church. And we would walk in very silent, and we would sit there very silent. And the silence was broken by the organ or the piano, whichever our musician was going to play that day. And then prayer. And the pastor would say, "Let us all rise and sing our invocation." And it was almost as if angels had come into the room. Well, that was pretty close to what the Sabbath was originally intended to be. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't an ancient Hebrew Sabbath where it was fasting and resting in the tent all day. But it was close, and I got to feel what it was like. Today we can say that we're going to claim Saturday or Sunday, whichever, it doesn't much matter. But the point is, other people are not doing it. And so the phone's going to ring. The emails will come in. Somebody's going to knock on the door and say, "Hey, you want to go to the lake?" Or, we made some extra brownies here. I thought we'd share them with you. Or somebody will walk by with their dog, and you'll see them, and they'll want to talk over the fence. You know, you get the idea. There's diversion, very diversified abilities and very diversified activities that are going on. And, of course, Walmart is open, and the grocery stores are open, and all the restaurants are open, and McDonald's is, the drive-thru window is open, and what we think of as rest really isn't rest. We're probably not going to be able to get this kind of Sabbath unless you're fortunate enough to have a lake cottage, and you could go there and close the door and observe it sort of like my parents did, cooking Sunday dinner the day before. But you better turn your phone off, because it's going to be ringing. You know what's going on. But the question is, can we have a Sabbath in today's world? We need it. We seriously need it. And I'm thinking that maybe it doesn't have to be 24 hours. Perhaps it needs to be a long enough time that you can be in complete quiet and stillness. No food, a good nap, meditation, prayer, no social life, unless who you're celebrating the day with is also practicing the Sabbath. I think we need to be giving ourselves some breaks. One of the things that is building up so much tension in the world today is nobody has a break. There's always an emergency happening, always a situation confronting us, always a continuation of the drama, always a continuation of either the debt or the need to find something, a place to live, the need to qualify for a debt so that you can buy something you need. The material world is engulfing us like a tsunami. And I'm not saying that from the voice of criticism, because I'm certainly guilty of it too. I get up in the morning. I have my quiet time. Every morning it's a ritual. I have my time with Yeshua. I have my time with just with my cats, and they and I purr. We purr together. And then I move on into my day, and I keep it quiet for a while. Don't do much. But then I have to go look at the orders that came in because people are expecting. I have to look at the email that's coming. So it's not a very long time that I have, but I have some time, and it's precious. And before the day is over, I give myself the same time. I don't just work until I drop. I give myself some time that it's just me and God. Me and Yeshua, me and myself, my greater self that is also you. And I let you be me so that we are united in a larger network of humanity. I invite you in and I go wherever I'm welcome in prayer, in meditation. And it makes a difference. I don't have an answer for each of you on how you could solve this enormous engulfment of the material world. But I think it's important that you assign it a priority to be able to do so. Perhaps not for 24 hours, but for when you can, as you can. And perhaps have a prayer time with others. Hopefully, you're using our Sunday call for your Sabbath and your time to be with community. Your time to be here and just receive a blessing. And I want you to celebrate that by surrendering your mind. Because one thing I can assure you, and that is your mind is engaged with the material world. And let's just look at human history for a moment. We had a profound exponential change in awareness, in thinking, and in information available to us when we entered what is called the Age of Enlightenment. That would be the time when science as we know it was born. And the scientific era was started. Great minds like Isaac Newton, Copernicus, and other great minds of the era that charted our world, measured it, weighed it, put it into the balance of material reality, and mathematics became our new language. That changed everything because it gave us a way to immerse ourselves into the material world in such a way that we thought we could manage it. But the fact is, the material world is bigger than we are because it is connected not just to the whole of the earth, but to the cosmos. And the cosmos, to one universe layered upon another universe. We now know there's not just one universe, but but many layers of many universes. Fact. And so there never will be a law of one. Never will be. Almost every truly sophisticated scientist has abandoned that thought. They're not even looking for it. And I can tell you the only law of one is God, the creator. It doesn't exist in a material world. And we have almost sacrificed our humanity trying to embrace and control what we cannot control. We can use it and hopefully to our benefit, but we don't control it. So I would ask you in this moment of the Sabbath, let go of your mind, because that's what your mind does. It tries to figure out the material universe. That's what it's designed for, to solve problems in the physical world. And it's what brought humanity skyscrapers above every other life form in terms of analytical intelligence. And that's not to say that a lizard is not intelligent, but what a lizard perceives will be something far more intuitive and cosmic and about the environment and availability for food and migration and instincts that we have long forgotten because we let that part of our mind in order to explore and develop the analytical mind, which we have excelled in beyond all expectation, and we're hoping to excel more by turning it over to artificial intelligence. And oh my God, I really do not know where that will lead, but I hope that we'll remember to keep God part of it, because that would be our undoing. If we leave God out, we will never reach the true unity of existence. And that's what this day is for, is to reunite with God. That's why it was one of the commandments. Because we can become very, very deluded with our engagement in the material world, that somehow we'll find unity there. But friends, you're never going to find it there. Never. You will find unity in God. And that's the only place you will find it. And as you reach beyond yourself, you will find more unity than you do reaching in yourself. That's another ironic twist on what we would think or predict. We think, well, I'm one person. If I just pull myself together, I'll get it together. Actually, you don't. You pull into yourself. And you lose your opportunity for finding the real answers, which are way beyond you. So my prayer for you with Yeshua, and you'll hear me pray it when we get into the prayer, is that he relax your mind and open all of your senses to the greater possibilities of life and blessing that can be brought to you. That your heart be open, and all of your other senses be flooded with grace, intuition, and opportunity for healing, expansion, and discovery of all that you can be. Well, this is what I used to hear in the songs of the church that I would think of as songs of the angels. I would just go out to the cosmos when they would sing. And I would listen with all my heart. And it was in that kind of environment that I asked God to make me a blessing to the world. That was my only prayer, is, oh Lord, please make me a blessing to the world. Because this is so beautiful and so amazing. And I'm offering that to you right now, is that understanding of what it was meant to be. So just think in your mind about, and your mind can think about this, about what it's like to get a good night's sleep. Because your mind loves that. It needs it. It goes into meltdown about midnight, 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning when you've stretched it as far as it can go. Your mind does go in meltdown and it says, oh, let me sleep. Oh, I gotta sleep. I can't do this anymore. And then it wakes up and it says, oh, great, I've got a whole new start in the day. You know, so your mind can understand that. So give it that perception and say, all right, my honey love, my dearest beloved mind, this is what I want to give you in a larger way. I want to give you a Sabbath. And then you can say to your soul, my dearest soul that I love so much, I want to give you a Jubilee Day. Let's think about how we can pay all of our debts. Even if we can't pay all of our material debts, let's pay all of our spiritual debts. Let's pay our emotional debt. Let's pay the debts to our parents by loving them in retrospect and honoring everything that they gave us in life. Let's pay all of our debts to God by just saying, yes, oh Lord, I love you. Thank you for making me your child. There are lots of debts we actually can pay, but you've got to also let other people pay their debts. That's part of the prayer. There's your catch-22. You've got to let go of what other people owe you, and that's called a grudge. You got to let go of it. If you want other people to let go of your debts, you know, you may have let some people down in your life. You didn't mean to. It's just you couldn't be all they hoped you could be. And that's a pretty typical human scenario. You couldn't be all they hoped you could be. And you had to walk away, and they'd been holding this grudge for 20 years. Okay, well, let go of it. Let's tell them to let go of it. They're forgiven. You're forgiven. Let's be free. Let's be free. I loved you then. I love you now. This grudge isn't worth it. It just isn't worth it. Let's be free, everybody. Do you know how much our world needs that right now? Our world needs that. We are so busy fighting to get even. Get even. And what does get even mean? It's called, you owe me a debt and I'm going to collect it. And it's not all financial. It's a lot of it is a grudge debt. A lot of it is an ancient historical hate debt. I'm going to get you back. You took my land. I'm going to take your soul. That's a grudge debt. We got to forgive those debts. Yeah, okay, we probably can't deal with Bank of America and Citibank, and we can't let, they're not going to let go of those debts. But you know what? You know what? I'll tell you right now. If we start letting go of all the spiritual, emotional, and social debts that come under the get even category, and we have freedom in the world, we will have so much prosperity. We can pay Bank of America. We can pay Citibank and get them off our back. And it's, that is the truth. We've got to honor and pay the debts we can pay in order to work our way up to paying all of the debts that need to be paid. And then we're going to have a Jubilee Day on this planet like you've never seen before. And Christ said in his life, I came to forgive all of your debts. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means we've got a Jubilee Day waiting for us, and we just have to accept it and work our way toward it. And I think that's what Stormy was saying that he could see. That's what I'm seeing in some of my dreams of heaven coming down to earth. So, I just want to leave you with that. It's the great Sabbath. It's the day where we reunite with God and there is peace on earth. An abundance that we can't even put in baskets. It's too great. It's so great, we can't find enough people to share it with. We have so much abundance. It's what we want to offload. It's like, I got too many apples off of this tree. Could you please take some? Make some apple cider, make some applesauce. I mean, I got to get rid of these apples. I've got too much money. I can't spend it. Please. Please, everybody, take some of it. Spare me. Spare me the nuisance of going to the bank. Help me out, please. You know, won't that be a great day? Okay, that's what I want you to think about. We have thought about scarcity too long, and we've made it a reality. It doesn't have to be. We were given the secret to abundance in the cultural laws of Moses that he implemented in bringing his people to the new promised land. He gave them the laws. And overall, I have to say that throughout history, the Jews have been among the most prosperous cultures on earth. They have actually done it quite well. And a lot of other people have been jealous of them and unjustly criticized them. But they were actually doing a good thing and doing it very, very well. If we had just learned from them instead of holding prejudices, we'd have all been a whole lot better off. So I think I've gone on. I guess I was just meant to talk today. We only had two people show up for our line. So I'm going to take a couple of calls. Iman, you are on. You may need to unmute your phone. Iman? Did you go to sleep? Well, okay. Well, we're waiting for Iman to come on. Harold, you're on, and I opened your line.
Hello?
Hello, Errol.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Oh, Glenda, it's so great to connect with you again. It's been way too long. I do come tune in on Sundays, and I'm grateful for the opportunity, and I participate in sharing the blessing every Sunday. So anyway, I do have a question, although a couple things that Yeshua said in the book that have challenged me and continue to challenge me. One of them, and I thought you might be able to comment on it. Are you still there?
I sure am. I'm listening.
Okay. One of them is that he talks about belief and receptivity being two sides of the same coin, or words to that effect. And
I didn't understand the part. What was the first part?
Yeshua talks about the idea that belief and receptivity are like two sides of the same coin.
Oh, absolutely.
And
what you believe is what you will see.
It just was interesting if you'd elaborate on that just a little. I find that a very interesting and provocative idea.
Well, if you believe you can do something, you will begin to see opportunities that allow you to do it. That's a very simple example.
Ah, yes. Maybe I'm overcomplicating.
If you believe you can't do something, you will look for reasons why you can't do it.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Thank you.
You know, I think if you want to get a really expanded elaboration on that, just listen to some of the teachings of Tony Robbins. He was a master of that concept. And also Neil Donald Walsh was really, really into that. His work really touches upon that broadly.
That's good. Yes, I've read most of his books, but I can refer to that.
Here's the thing you've got to realize. It's not all beliefs are positive. In fact, one of the therapies that Larry often implemented in his seminar was a therapy for people with negative. Eve said actually probably about 85% of our beliefs are negative. They have to do with what we can't do and why we can't do it and what's holding us back. And so he had a lot of therapeutic remedies for opening up and erasing negative beliefs. Because when you are inundated with negative beliefs, you won't even see an opportunity if it's 6 inches from your nose.
You know,
and
I
saw him prove that to people over and over again in seminars. It was amazing.
Well, he also says, until decay is exposed, there cannot be improvement for the better. And I wonder if that's related. What do you think?
Well, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the first part of that. Say it again.
Yeshua says, until decay is exposed, there cannot be an improvement for the better.
Oh, until decay is exposed? Oh, well, yeah. all right. Let's see, how do I say it? Okay, you take a simple thing. The first thing that came to mind is something very recently. I took a peach out of the refrigerator, and there was a little spot of decay on it, and I just wondered, would that peach be any good to eat? So I took it out, put a knife to it, and cut off the decay, and then I sliced open the peach, and the rest of the peach was perfect. So, yeah, once I removed the decay, my thought that the whole peach might be destroyed was removed. And that parable exists also in the parable of the vine, when he said, if a vine does not produce, cut it off, throw it away. He said, if a tree is, if limbs of a tree are sick, cut it off so that the other limbs of a tree can prosper. In other words, eliminate what is decaying so that what is living can expand. The thing is, the very simple thing, even from a scientific, biological, botanical point of view, is that even decay consumes energy. It takes energy to produce decay, and decay is merely the deterioration of substance that is going through the entropic process of self-consumption. And self-consumption actually consumes a great deal of energy that you could relieve without it. And I don't want to say the rest. There's another parable, which I don't want to say with too much literal emphasis, but he said, if your right arm offends you, cut it off. So I don't want to suggest that anybody go cut off their right arm because it's offended them. But just understand.
I think about the decay in our culture, and I'm continually challenged to see how can we address that decay that's occurring in so many systems.
Well, I would say cut it off from your attention.
That's good.
There's lots of ways you can cut it off. Take your attention off of it and put your attention on what is prospering, what is good, what is wholesome, and what has a future to it. In other words, follow life in the living.
Got it. Yeah, good. Well, that's good.
And
one
of the destructive elements in our culture is a media that will not allow us to take our attention off of the decay.
Agreed. Yeah.
I want to turn the TV off, at least on the Sabbath.
Yes, excellent. Thank you. I would like to just leave you with a little short poem I wrote about love, and maybe some of the listeners might appreciate it.
Okay.
It goes like this. I cannot live out of love, for only in love do I know myself. When I join with another, my soul drives forward like the hard, earnest thrust of love's embrace. When I enter love, I come to know myself. For in the eyes of my beloved, whether man, woman, child, or God, I see my soul enhanced. And as my soul beams back to me, it brings with it another. And myself is that much bigger for allowing two inside it.
Errol, that is so beautiful. And it's what I've been trying to say all day, is you're bigger than yourself. And when you can be that other self, it mirrors back your love. And mirrors back through that love the blessings you are looking for. So
Amen.
That is a beautiful benediction to our expression of this service today. And I'm going to just say, let it be. Let's get into our blessing now. Okay?
Thank you.
Let's just get into being ourself. Fall in love with yourself. In the sense, just fall into your heart. Fall into your being. Fall into that true spot of who you are. And let it then become all that you seek. And all that you can extend yourself and give yourself into in life. So take a deep breath, everybody, and let that breath be a breath, an in-breath of love. And when you breathe out, let that be an act of giving love to whoever and whatever would like to see. And again, inhale. A breath of love. Hold it and cherish it. And breathe it out to whoever and whatever would like to be and have that love right now. Let it be a blessing unto them. We actually all breathe the same air. Remember that. But we choose to breathe it in as love. Breathe it out as love. I'm going to begin my prayer to Yeshua in a moment. And as I do, just continue your breathing. Focus on the love. Focus on the blessing. And be prepared to receive more than you thought you could receive. Shake your arms and legs out so that you're just a piece of relaxation, open to all good things. Open to God. Open to love. Yeshua, we know you are with us. Always and already. But we say this prayer to honor our unity and to make it more clearly manifest to our perception so that we may see you as being here, giving of yourself. And we request, first of all, that you just open us to receive. To receive all good things, even beyond that which we believe is possible. Relax our beliefs, that we may receive more than we believe, that our faith may be greater than anything we're capable of believing, that our faith may reach out into the multi-dimension universe, that we may even receive from other time and space what might not be possible here in the three-dimensional world around us. Because we know that you add all of these possibilities with your presence, for you are in all places. We thank you for expanding our nature, expanding possibilities and opening our heart to receive these possibilities into ourself, that ourself may be bigger than we ever thought it could be. We ask that you embody our prayers, that you honor us with yourself inside our prayers, that as we give our prayers to others and out to the world, we're giving you to the world and you to others, that they may know you where they have never opened to you before, that they may feel you where they have never felt you before. And this could make such a difference to our world. Let us be couriers of your blessing, that we receive and send it on, that we receive and carry it forth, and we receive with gratitude. All these things we ask in your precious name. Amen. Now, blessing givers, will you stand with me? And receivers, you may begin your prayer quietly. Blessing givers, let us begin. Your blessing has been given. Now go and rest so that you can fully receive. Rest for at least 7 minutes, and it's okay if you fall asleep, because it's not about thinking. In fact, do not think. Don't turn your mind on. Just be there and be open to any and all possibilities. God will write on the blackboard of your life. Bye-bye for now, and I hope to see you again next Sunday.